Let's go ahead and find our seats. Good morning. Good morning, Arbor. Happy Father's Day. So good to see all of you. Wasn't it so cool walking into our building with like the stained glass windows? That's like a major upgrade. It's like that, not even like temporary VBS decorations. That looks like nice. I was like, I want that in my house. That's so nice. So excited about VBS this week. If you've got kids, fathers, you know, this is my charge to you today. Get them signed up. Get them signed up for VBS. It's this week. We're super excited about it. Listen, if you're new or visiting with us, welcome. My name is Ryan. I am one of the pastors here at Arbor, and I just want to start with a very simple question this morning, and that simple question is this. Where do you put your weight? Not okay, yes, there's the thing. I don't mean that. I don't mean it literally, you know, midsection or whatnot. Thank you for that. That was great. I was hoping someone would give me that back. That worked out really well. I'll pay you later. No, I don't mean physically. Listen, I mean like when life gets hard and life gets unsteady. When the thing that you were counting on isn't holding anymore, when the news is bad or the relationship is fracturing and falling apart or the season that you're walking through just will not end, where do you go? What do you reach for? What are you actually leaning on and being supported by? Because here's what I've noticed. And I've noticed this in my life just as much as I've noticed it anywhere else. Most of us are hanging on and trying to be supported by things that were never meant to support us, that were never meant to be a foundation for us. We lean on our own ability to figure out a situation. We lean on just life staying stable. We lean on other people who are going to be present or healthy or the same. But listen, those things, those people, they change and they will always change. They were never meant to be foundations. And when they do change, we will find out quickly what we have been placing our weight on, what we have been supporting ourselves with. And so today, on this June morning, what we're going to do is we're going to spend time in what I think is actually one of the more important psalms in the entire book. It is a short psalm. It's only 11 verses. And it really just has like one core thing to say. I'm a pastor, though. I'm going to make it say three things, but it really only has one core thing to say. But I think if we let it and allow it, it might be one of the most important things that we hear this summer. And so, again, each and every week as we are in the Psalms, if you have a Bible or if you have a copy of the Bible, like, just please get that out and bring that. We're going to be going through it verse by verse, but if you do not, that's okay. It's going to be on the screens, and I, like last week, want to read this psalm in its entirety, Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. And so let's just go ahead and listen. The psalmist writes this: God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with the surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Aren't the Psalms just beautiful? Don't they? There's just something so beautiful about it. We have to remember these are poems. These are poems. And here's what I want to do with this poem is I just want to start right at the beginning. Verse 1. Because the psalm opens with something that I think we need to slow down on and just sit with, and that is this simple truth that God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Look at verse 1 again. Right at the very beginning. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I want you to notice something about when that statement is made. Because this statement in verse 1, the psalmist doesn't say this after everything has been resolved, after the situation has been figured out, after the trouble has been put to rest. No, the psalmist says right at the very beginning that God is our refuge. Before anything is fixed, before the earthquake happens, before the mountains fall, before the waters start roaring and raising, this is the big claim that is made at the very beginning of this psalm before we encounter any of that chaos. God is our refuge. Most of us, if we're honest, this is not how we work. This is not how we operate in our lives. Most of us, we wait. We wait to see how things will turn out. We wait to see how the situation will resolve. We wait to see if the relationship will stay together. We wait and we see if the thing we're afraid of actually happens. And then we decide. Then we make our assessment of whether God can be trusted, whether he truly is our refuge or not. And the psalmist says right off the bat, before we enter into any of the chaos, before any of the chaos is resolved, God is our refuge. And then in verses 2 and 3, the psalmist writes this, "Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." I mean, just listen to the picture that the psalmist is painting. This is a terrifying picture. The earth gives way, the mountains fall into the sea, the waters are roaring and foaming. This is the description of like absolute chaos and calamity. It doesn't get worse than this. The picture being painted is all that is stable is falling apart. And yet our response is what? "Therefore, we will not fear." Therefore, we will not fear. Not "we will not fear once this thing is over." Not "we will not fear if God shows up." No, "therefore we will not fear" because of what was said in verse 1. That God is our refuge. This claim, again, is made before we encounter any of the chaos, any of the calamity. And Arbor, I want us to sit with this morning. This simple statement drawn right from verse 1 that God is our refuge, because I think that some of us walked into this room this morning carrying something that feels like this. It might not be like literal collapsing mountains. In fact, if that's what it was, that'd be really weird. But it's something that feels like that. We've walked into this room, and it's our version of that thing. And here's what the psalm isn't going to tell you. The psalm isn't going to tell you that your situation isn't hard. The psalm isn't going to tell you that this is going to be easy, that the ground isn't shaking. No, it's saying, yeah, those things are true. What you're going through is really hard, and the ground is shaking, and this is really difficult, but listen. You have a safe place. You have a refuge in God. The Hebrew word for the word refuge there is this word makseh. And it just means like a place to run to, a shelter. And so this is not some sort of feeling that we have to manufacture on our own. This is not some sense of calm that we have to try to create. God's word is describing not even just a location, but a person. Someone that we can run to, an ever-present help in our time of need. God is our refuge and our strength. And that is the very first point, and that is the foundation on which everything else in this psalm is built. That God is our refuge. Here's the second thing. God is with us. You're like, what seminary did you go to come up with these amazing theological points? No, but listen, sometimes it's the simplest things that we have to sit with again and again and allow them to permeate our souls. And so God is not only our refuge, but God is with us. Look at verses 5-7, because the psalm actually shifts here, and this shift really matters because the first three verses were all about God's power. All about God's strength. He is stronger than earthquakes. He is more powerful than collapsing mountains. He is stronger than the worst thing you can imagine. And all of that is important, and all of that is good news. That is the foundation of this psalm, that our God is powerful. But listen, power alone isn't personal. It's not intimate. It's not relational. It can still feel distant. A God who is simply more powerful than our problems, well, that's important, and that's a good thing, and that's something we celebrate, but ultimately it's not necessarily fully comforting. Doesn't mean that this God is actually paying attention to you, watching you, looking toward your specific situation on this particular specific morning. And so watch, listen, the psalm shifts here. Watch what the psalmist does in verse 5. The psalmist writes, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. And there is one small word in there that I just want us to notice. Did you notice it there? The word within. God is within. God is not just above or around or in the general vicinity. No. The psalmist says that God is within, not watching from the distance, not operating in some sort of distant place, managing things from afar, but he is here within, present. And then we get the refrain. And the refrain in a psalm is like a repeated line. Think of it like a chorus that you hear again and again. And we get the refrain of this psalm, which is the central idea of this psalm, for the first time in verse 7. And the psalmist writes this, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And here's the important shift that you wouldn't necessarily just notice reading through this psalm in one sitting. What happens here is the psalmist changes the name that he uses to describe God. And in verses 1-3, the name that the psalmist uses is the word Elohim. And we talked about that last week. That's a common name for God. That's kind of God's big cosmic name. He is the creator God, the God who created and holds together the galaxies. But then the psalmist shifts here in verse 4 and says, "The Lord Almighty is with us." And in that verse right there, the psalmist uses God's personal name. The name that God gave to Moses when Moses asked, "Who are you?" And God said, "I am who I am. I will be what I will be. I am present, Yahweh." And anytime you see in the Old Testament, Lord, but it's all capitalized, that is what is being used in that particular situation. Not other names of God, but that name. And that's the name being used in the refrain. Not just all-powerful creator God Elohim. This is the God who speaks to individuals from burning bushes. This is the personal God who sees your situation and loves you and cares. The God who is truly present with us. I think for a lot of us, we don't have trouble in believing in a God who is like super powerful. We can think of and conceive of a God who controls all things, creates all things, but I think for many of us that it's more difficult for us to believe in a God who is truly with us. A God who cares about me and my situation and my particular struggle right now. I think that is far harder for us to believe. I think that requires more faith for many of us. Many of us, we will readily admit that there is something bigger and more powerful than us out there, but we struggle to believe that that powerful being actually loves us and cares for us. And this God described in Psalm 46, I want you to know he sees you. and he cares, and he loves you, and he is with us. This is Yahweh, the God of armies, the God who held mountains together while the earth gave away. He is with us, and he's not just with us as humanity in general. He is with us personally, individually. I think that word is doing enormous work in this psalm, because here's what it means practically. Whatever you brought into this room, whatever you were practically carrying, that thing that felt like mountains crashing into the oceans, that thing that felt like an absolute earthquake in your life, listen, what we have to acknowledge is that our God, who is our refuge, is not merely looking at our pain and our struggle from a distance. He's not waiting for us to get ourselves cleaned up before he engages with us. He is not withholding his presence before we figure all of this out. He is within. He is here. He is within your life. And he's here and he cares and he loves you. Before the situation is resolved, before you even walked through the doors this morning, again, listen to this refrain. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Would we not forget that God is with us? That is the second point that we see this morning. And if the first point is the foundation of the text and the second point really makes it personal, well, this is the third movement of the psalm. Like I said, I can make, you know, the psalm say as many things right now, right? This is the third thing. And really the central idea, though, is this idea that God is with us. But then we move into this third movement in verses 8 through 10. And this is where the psalm does something that I didn't really expect to see when I read it through the first time. But look at verse 8. The psalmist then writes this, "Come and see. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth." And so now the psalmist is inviting us to look at what God has done. And let's look further, verse 9, what God has done. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. And so again, church, we don't have the most gentle scene here in this psalm. I mean, this is like a battlefield scene, the aftermath. We have scorched earth and burning shields and broken bows, and it is just absolute desolation. This war is grinding to a halt at the end of the earth. God walks through that chaos, and it stops. Why? Not just because it loses momentum, but it stops because God commanded it to stop. God spoke and the chaos ceased. And then we get to this little verse at the end that I think almost every single one of us have probably heard at least once in our lives. Verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. And listen, church, we have been going through this poem where we acknowledge and see that God is our refuge and that God is with us and present, and that this very same God who is our strength, our power, our refuge, the one who is with us and the one who can command chaos to stop. He says here, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." And I think many of us, when we probably originally heard this verse, the way we heard this verse was maybe like a soft whisper from God, where he sees us in our pain and in our struggle and in our hurt, and we hear the still small voice of the Spirit, "Be still and know that I am God." And that's good. And I think that is a beautiful thing, to quiet ourselves before God. But listen, That's not exactly what's happening here. It's actually a little bit cooler than that, because the Hebrew word for "be still" is a command. And it's this command, the word harpu. Harpu. And that doesn't just mean find a quiet moment, settle down your heart. Actually, it's a little bit more physical than that. It actually means to literally drop your hands. To drop arms. It means to go slack and stand down. In fact, if you observe this word throughout the Old Testament, it oftentimes shows up as a command issued to enemies on a battlefield when the battle was won. Stand down. This is what the general says when the fight is over and the other side is lost. Stand down. Be still. And in this moment, what God is doing is he has painted this picture where he is our refuge, our power. He is the one who is with us in all of our pain. And in this psalm, God is not merely whispering to us here. He is commanding the chaos in our life to stop, and he is inviting us to put our arms down and surrender and rest in his goodness. Just be still and know that I am God. God commands the chaos, and it stops. And that is super important. That matters. That a lot of us, I think, we have been trying to manufacture our own stillness. We've been trying to manufacture our own peace. We've been trying to find quiet and enough margin just to feel okay, and it doesn't work, because the stillness that the psalmist is describing here is not a stillness that we create and curate for ourselves. This is a stillness that is gifted to us by God. This is a peace that is grace. God says, stand down to the chaos, and it does. God says, stand down to the fear that we feel, and it does. God says, stand down to the thing that has been keeping us up at night, and it does. That is the God of this psalm. That is our God. That is the God that we worship this morning, the God that won't fail, the God that cares, the God that is faithful. He is the God who is with us, and he is our refuge. And it all makes me think of this story in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, and Jesus is out on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and it's in the middle of the night, and they encounter a storm. And this wasn't uncommon at that time on the Sea of Galilee, but they encounter this storm, and we have to remember that some of these disciples were professional fishermen, so they were used to this. This wasn't uncommon for them either. They would have encountered this before. But where was Jesus in this story? What was he doing? He was sleeping, right? He's sleeping. And so in this story, the disciples wake up Jesus because they're like, Jesus, you've got to do something because this is out of control. We're going to drown. We're going to die. And Jesus, what does he do? He stands up and he does exactly what the God of Psalm 46 does. He looks at the wind and he looks at the waves and he commands them to stop. He commands them to be still. Harpu, be still, be calm. And the water goes flat, and the disciples, these guys who have been spending time with this Jesus, walking with him, eating with him, watching him, they look at each other in this moment and they say to themselves this, listen, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. What kind of man is this? Arbor, Psalm 46 was written hundreds of years before Jesus got into that boat. But the Jesus that got into that boat is the God of Psalm 46. That is our God, our Savior. The one who loves us, who is our refuge, who is with us always. And so again, if we try to bring all this together, and put it together and ask ourselves one more time, where do you put your weight? Where do you put your weight? The refrain of this psalm actually comes back one last time. Verse 11, same exact words as verse 7, because the psalmist wants to make sure that as we leave this space, these are the words ringing in our ears. Psalm 46, 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge. Before things ever started falling apart, he is our refuge. God is with us. He is not distant. He is not far off. He is within. He is close by. And God commands the chaos and it stops. And so, whatever we walked in here with today, whatever we brought with us that was weighing heavy on our hearts this morning, this psalm is not promising us that the road ahead will be easy. This psalm is not promising us that we will not struggle as we endure what we have to endure. It's not promising us that the hard thing will be fixed by next week. What it is promising us is that, listen, God is our refuge. He is with us, and he can command the chaos to stop. He was here before we knew we needed him. He will be here in whatever season we face. He is the same God, the same refuge, the same name, Yahweh. Would you stand with me as I pray? Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our refuge, that you are our strength, that you are our help in time of need. Lord, we thank you that we can run to you this morning with whatever we're carrying, with whatever we're struggling with, whatever pains or heaviness or burdens. And that even though in these moments, Lord, they are so painful and you can feel so far off, we read the truth of where you're at right now, and you are right here with us. And so as we sing this final song, Lord, would we sing this song as a prayer to the God who is with us, to the God who sees us and cares, and the God who can command the chaos to stop. Jesus, we thank you for your love, your grace and mercy. We would be lost in the chaos of our own sin if we did not have forgiveness at the cross. And so we thank you for the gospel. We thank you that you ultimately defeated the chaos of sin and suffering and darkness at the cross, and we rest in that this morning. We love you and pray all this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.